Happy birthday, America.
Welcome to the Dynasty Warzone Podcast, a division of DynastyFootballFactory.com. We take you onto the front lines and into the trenches of the fantasy football season. And now, here are your hosts, Mike Jernigan, Lawrence Cheney, and John Sheps.
Alrighty, everyone. Welcome in to episode number 18 of the Dynasty Warzone Podcast. I am your host, John Sheps. And with me this evening, like always, is Mr. Mike Jernigan and Mr. Lawrence Cheney. What's cooking, gentlemen?
What's up, everybody? Happy 4th of July in a couple days.
Happy 4th Independence Day. I'm hyped. This is one of my last episodes, and I'm ready to rock it. So
America. Ready to rock it. My wife and kids America. Are down in Ocean City, New Jersey right now, and I'm stuck home because I'm not feeling well. So I'm tending to the house and the dog and to the Great American Weekend that is in Goshen every year. So I'll be home with the Great American Weekend while the wife and kids are down enjoying Ocean City, New Jersey.
I actually know somebody who manages a hotel in Ocean City, New Jersey, oddly enough. Hello, Kathy.
How about that? What's happening, Kathy?
What's up, Kat?
I forget the name of the hotel. It's like Oceanside 6 or something like that. Something along those lines, anyhow.
They'll leave the light on for you.
Isn't that the Red Roof Inn? Or
I don't know. It's one of those sixes or those eights. One of those things, you know. But anyway, so guys, you know we rep for the DFF Network, for the DFF Army. Follow us at Dynasty Warzone. Right now, guys, we're at 950 followers on Twitter. And I'd like to think we can get to 1,000 before LJ officially dips, you know, and then goes into his own venture. And LJ, you got some news for us, so why don't you tell us exactly what it is you have planned for us when you leave the Dynasty Warzone?
Yes, so if you listened to last week's episode, we broke the news that I'm taking off for, you know, a few different things. And one of those being is we are going to start a Devi podcast at DynastyFootballFactory.com. It's going to be the Devi Watch podcast, with the likes of myself hosting it and my two co-hosts are going to be Jason Dirienzo, who can be found at All Purpose Yardage on Twitter, and Cody Garrett, who can be found at _ Cody Garrett. And these two are a part of the Devi team and a part of, you know, the OGs when it comes to the Devi team at DFF. So that's what we got going for you guys. You know, a weekly update on everything college football, huge emphasis on the developmental side of Dynasty, and we just felt like it's time to get this ball rolling. The Devi Watch was a big hit, and we felt like, you know, well, let's get a podcast going. It's been in the works, and we're finally ready to put it out there. So that's where I'm taking off to.
When do you guys think this is going to drop?
So this, you will be listening to this on Monday, and I would say within 7 to 14 days of when you are hearing this episode and me speak right now.
So 1 to 2 weeks.
No, well, it actually might be dropping here in a couple of days, but
That's not 7 to 14 days. I feel like your math is really bad on this.
Well, it's because I don't know if I'm going to have everything set up perfectly in order to drop it.
So I feel very confused.
I think he's nervous. I think he's a little nervous. He doesn't have the team like us right now that he can 100% believe in. So he's not sure. He's given them a big window because he doesn't want to set anybody up for failure.
I feel like his team right now is giving him a lot of crap. So maybe he's going to be better off.
Well, speaking of teams,
it'll be smooth sailing. I won't have to worry about you guys anymore. Let's go. Moving on.
Well, speaking of teams, we have we do have this Dynasty Warzone Listener League, right? And we were sitting steady at about 4 spots remaining for, I want to say, 2 or 3 weeks. And we just got a new entrant. His name is Michael Finaro at Aardvark TV. And he submitted a pretty legit video that we're going to share with you guys. You may have already seen it because we released it over the weekend. But it was pretty legit, pretty well put together, pretty spectacular, and it earned him a spot in the Listener League.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was highly produced. He had a green screen going on. Like, it was good stuff, guys. He set the bar pretty high, so keep coming with those entries. We still got 3 spots left.
No hard feelings for the other entrants, but this was by far my favorite. This video was hilarious. You know, I was actually laughing. You know, his outtakes that he had going on in the video, I was laughing. I was like, dude, this guy is definitely in. I loved it.
It was very professional. He reminded me of like a news guy, you know, like on a legit TV channel.
He even had 3 different outfits on for this thing. That was, you know, well, actually there's 3. Those are clones. Sorry.
Me, myself, and I.
Sorry.
Very professional. Congratulations, ladies and gentlemen. There's 3 spots left and you know what it is. Come correct. Bring it. Earn yourself an entrant.
And actually, we didn't talk about this pre-show, but I just want to jump back in here real quick. I want to talk about fantasycares.net for a second. I brought it up last week. Obviously, for those of you who don't know, that site is run by Scott Fish. And you can enter fantasy leagues where you can win money, but a portion goes to Toys for Tots. It's an awesome site, awesome way to do something you enjoy and give back. So one of the leagues we've got going there is an Eliminator-style best ball charity league. And the Dynasty Warzone has the privilege of giving away an entry to this league courtesy of DynastyFootballFactory.com. So all you got to do, go on Twitter, tag at Dynasty Warzone and at Dynasty F Factory and say something nice about us, and we're just going to pick a winner at random. That's it. So tweet us at Dynasty Warzone, at Dynasty F Factory. You can enter as many times as you want. You might annoy your friends if they're seeing you tweet at us all the time. But feel free to enter as often as you want. We're going to pick one at random here in a week or two. But yeah, keep them coming.
Keep them coming. All right, guys. And what we got going on for you tonight, we're going to talk some news. We're going to continue on our divisional breakdown. This week, we're talking the NFC South. And then next week, that's it. Next week, we're doing the NFC East, and we're done. So after the NFC South, we got some Ask Dynasty Warzone questions, and then we're out. So before we get moving, before we head on to the news and rumors, LJ, make your announcements. Let everybody know where they can find us.
You can find us at Dynasty Warzone on Twitter. We are in the DFF network on DynastyFootballFactory.com. The podcast can be found and listened to on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, and there is a video version in the DFF YouTube channel for all you guys that like those visual effects to go along with it. Click subscribe, like, listen.
All right, so let's get started with the news and the rumors. MJ, what do you got for us, kid?
All right, let's talk about Jonathan Williams, running back for the Bills. He is the direct handcuff to LeSean McCoy. That role was in jeopardy a little bit because of a 2016 DUI case in which the league still hadn't decided if they were going to impose a punishment, despite the fact that he was found not guilty of the charge. But the league has finally decided that he will not be punished and therefore will not face any type of suspension for the incident. I personally don't think he's a big-time talent, but if you disagree with that take and want to own him, you don't have to worry anymore about him missing time for that. So, you know, it's not a super significant piece of news, but, you know, it's the end of June. So that's what I got.
I'm going to give you guys an over-under, and you tell me what you're buying. 2 games as a starter this year, Jonathan Williams, over or under?
2.
Yes, sir. 2.
Over.
Yeah, I would say over just because McCoy is hurt a lot, but I don't think he's going to be any good in those games.
I do.
Yeah, I think he'll do. I think in that offense, I feel like running backs are real set up to perform. And
John, you and I talked about this a little bit through text message, I don't know, a couple weeks back or something like that. In the games that he played last year, he averaged 2.2 yards per carry. That's
very
not good.
Yeah, and especially because coming out of Arkansas last year, him and Alex Collins, he was kind of the guy that he was kind of the mixin', right, to Collins's P. Ryan. I'm not saying they were of that level, but there was the 2-back thing going on, and Williams was hurt, so Collins produced, and then Williams was able to come back and play. And so I was expecting a little more. So, you know, it was only 1 year, so I'm interested to see if you got him and you didn't pay too much, then I think you're going to get at least 2 games of starting running back numbers from him. You're going to be able to start him. So LJ, you got some news for us too, and this is an IDP bonus. So hit us with that.
IDP bonus.
Yeah, so Zachary Orr from former.
Not to be confused with Zachary Banks. And I don't know if any of you know who he is, so I'm going to leave it at that.
I do not know who Zach Banks is. Anyways.
He lit the black flame candle.
Which is...
you'll find out one day.
Am I too young for this?
Hocus Pocus,
oh.
Man.
Oh,
the black
flame
candle. Zachary Banks.
Yes, I understand now.
I think I'm too old for
this. Yes, you are. No, I'm just
kidding. The Sanderson sisters. I had a
crush on that one goofy witch when I was a little kid. The blonde one.
That's the chick from...
Oh, that is. Sex and the City. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Oh, man. All right, so Zach Orr, the former Ravens linebacker who... I believe he announced his retirement. That was just earlier this year, wasn't it? I believe, and I think that's when people were dropping. He had a monster season last year. He had, 89 tackles. And, you know, that was, he played in 15 games. He had 3 interceptions. And, you know, he showed out and he showed promise as a starter for them last year. Then he announced his retirement. And just recently, Ozzie Newsome came out. And I guess Zach Orr's doctors okayed him to return to football. He is now a free agent and available to sign with anybody. I know the Raiders need some linebacker help. That would be a good spot for him. I'm interested to see where he goes. And in our recent IDP Seek and Destroy DFF league, he just went for $350. $350 in the blind.
Out of 1,000.
The blind bid waivers. So
more than a quarter of...
I bid $20 on him.
I bid $35.
So we bumped then, that up. We bumped ahead. That up because I yeah. We were talking in the DMs. We were like, we have a thread for that league, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna throw out what I said, something like 260, and you're like, all right, I'm throwing 294. Then he ends up going for 350, but in all reality, Shep's only dropped $35 on him. So good on us.
Yeah, and then in another league I'm in. It's so that's out of 1,000. In another league I'm in, it's out of, we have 500 total, and he went for $201. So that's almost half. And he went and interviewed. I heard, it seems like, I don't know the sources where this is coming from, but it doesn't seem like it's really firm at the moment. You know what I mean? It kind of seems like people are just talking about things they've heard. And it sounds like he went to Detroit for an interview. So that's good news for Jernigan. But I'm afraid. I know the Giants need a linebacker, and I don't want him to end up in New York because I don't think, you know, they're selling B.J. Goodson, and I'm not worried about B.J. Goodson, but I don't want to see Zach Orr go over there. So what do you got? You got anything to say about that, Mike?
I'm not sure the Lions have cap space to sign a dude like that because he's going to demand some money, and the Lions are pretty tight on that. So, I mean, I guess they think they – no away if they're going to bring him in for an interview, but I'm just not sure how they get that done. I would love to see him there, but I don't know that it's realistic.
Well, where there's smoke, there's fire.
True.
So I mean, if they brought him out there out of retirement, I'm sure they're not trying to waste the guy's time, but who knows? Maybe where's he from? Maybe he's from the area. Maybe he wants to play in Detroit. Who knows? But I got some news, and the IDP bonus is now over for the first time. That's the first time we've talked defense in God knows how
long. A long time. We made the drop and used it one time, and this is the second time you're hearing it.
So now I want to talk about – I know I talked about the Niners last week, and I don't think I mentioned this cat, and it's George Kittle. And right now – there is some George Kittle buzz that is generating. Okay, it's starting with John Lynch. John Lynch came out and said that he is going to be using George Kittle as a one-on-one matchup tight end. He sees him as a playmaker, especially in the red zone. They're also saying that there's going to be a competition for tight end one come August. So game on right now. And also, part of his skill set is he's a very sound blocker. So you want to see the field as a rookie, especially as at the tight end position, be the best blocking tight end on your team. You're going to see the field. You're going to get reps. And on top of that, the dude can block, and he ran a 4.52. So he could block, he could run, he could catch. So, I mean, right now, if he's cheap, get him before other people find out about him. I got him for $3 3 weeks ago. So well, I think that's a bargain.
And another telling part of this is the 49ers were openly shopping Vance McDonald in the offseason, which means they don't think anything about that dude. So they right. they obviously want Kittle to succeed.
And one thing that comes to when it comes to Kittle is he had an 11-foot broad jump. So this dude's got some explosiveness, and he could very well be the most complete tight end coming out of college, in my opinion. I know we got O.J. Howard, who is, you know, he's another freak that came out in this class. There's a ton of them at the position, but, man, I really do like George Kittle. I hate that he is with the Niners because I despise the Niners. But, yes, he could very well be the most complete tight end when he steps on the field as a rookie out of this crop. And I'm sort of buying it, but I'm not going to be paying the price that people are going to be asking for him here shortly. So,
yeah, go get him now before the price skyrockets. But it also does seem like there's a lot of buzz. Seems like in the AFC, it's the Dolphins that it seems like there's buzz at every single position group. And in the NFC right now, with the running backs, the young running backs in San Francisco, you know, with Breida and Williams, it seems like they're getting a lot of buzz. And now you add Kittle to that. So there's a little bit of buzz surrounding some rookies in San Francisco. So, but that's it for San Francisco. We're going to move from the NFC West over to the NFC South to continue on our divisional breakdown and to kick us off in the right fashion, Mike Jernigan with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
All right, guys, after the past few weeks when I had these awful teams that I kept having to look at, I demanded that I got a good team. So I wound
demanded.
Up.
He yelled. He was yelling and screaming and texting curse words.
I was so tired of looking at the Rams and Bills and Jets and the likes of that. So with the Bucs, we start with Jameis Winston, who is one of the biggest winners of this offseason, I think. The front office has stocked him with weapons. He still has the problem of throwing too many interceptions. He has 33 interceptions over his two seasons in the league. But his statistics over the first two seasons were pretty much remarkably similar, except his rushing touchdowns dropped from 6 in his rookie campaign to 1 last season. He's got a great opportunity to take a giant leap this year in his third year. The Bucs signed free agent Ryan Fitzpatrick to act as his backup, but I think we all know what he is at this point. Winston hasn't missed a game in his career, and even if he does, you'll probably have better options on the waiver wire or somewhere else. Ryan Griffin is behind Fitzpatrick, but you don't need to pay any attention to him. There would need to be a catastrophic disaster for him to get playing time, and even a bigger league-wide disaster for him to be relevant. So the running backs are the same cast of characters we saw last season. You got Doug Martin. He's going to be suspended for the first three games of the year. When he's able to return, reports out of the voluntary activities are that he's in the best shape of his life, blah, 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 blah. We know him as one of the most polarizing running backs in the NFL. In the five seasons he's been in the league, he has two seasons of over 1,400 yards and three seasons with less than 500. Isn't that crazy? Those are wild swings, man. Mm-hmm. We just don't know which Martin is going to show up, and we already know that his ceiling is 13 games, so tread lightly with that dude. Charles Sims is somebody who seems like he's a perennial breakout running back who never breaks out. He's, to me, strictly a PPR guy, and he's not even super young at this point, so I think we know what he is. Jaquizz Rodgers is still there, and he's probably going to be the starter with Martin out. He had a couple of games that he didn't look horrible last year, but I don't think you're going to want to start him week one. And by week four, he'll be irrelevant. So he's 27, so yeah, he kind of is what he is too. Moving on to the wide receivers, you know, they have a guy named Mike Evans. I don't know if you've heard of him, but if you don't know who he is, you're probably not very good at Dynasty and should probably take up another hobby. He's entering his fourth season and hasn't had a season with less than 1,000 yards receiving. He's really good and should be for a really long time. I can guarantee you that he's not available on your waiver wire. There could be an argument made that all the offensive additions could actually hurt Evans' numbers, but I'm not of that ilk. he's just too good, and Winston knows that. He's a trusted target. He's going to throw passes Evans' way. DeSean Jackson was a really nice addition to this offense. He's going to be that burner on the outside who finishes with around 1,000 yards just about every year. Winston has a cannon of an arm, and it should allow Jackson to continue that 1,000-yard trend. He is 30 years old, which limits his dynasty value, but he could be a contributor for a win-now type team. They're going to have Adam Humphries in the slot, but he probably took a huge hit with all the extra personnel brought in this offseason. He's only 24 and could take a step up, but it's going to be a lot harder with more mouths to feed. Probably not someone who's going to make any starts for a fantasy team, if I had to guess. Moving over to tight end, we have Cameron Brate, who finishes the tight end 6 last season in his third NFL season. He had 57 receptions, 660 yards, and 8 touchdowns. Reports are coming out right now that he's still slated to be the starting tight end for this team, and I personally believe it. He does seem like a prime candidate for touchdown regression, though, since he scored 8 times last year, and there's a lot more competition just kind of straight up this year. If I had to guess, Brate will still have a solid year, but it'll be hard to predict what weeks he's going to produce tight end 1 type numbers. Tampa Bay just brought in a solid crop of rookies all around. We're going to talk about all of them right now. At running back, they selected Jeremy McNichols in the 5th round. It's tough to know his future since he's been recovering from a torn labrum and won't be ready until training camp, so he's probably going to be a little bit behind on his work. He is, however, a solid pass catcher and really good at picking up blitzes, which really helps incoming rookie running backs. It's still possible that he doesn't even make the final roster, though, and even if he does, he's probably not going to have much of a role. So he's strictly kind of a long odds bench stash kind of guy to me. They also drafted Chris Godwin, wide receiver from Penn State, in the 3rd round. You guys have heard me talk about how much I like Godwin. That being said, this landing spot probably stunts his growth a bit with all the mouths to feed in Tampa Bay. I think he's a really dynamic playmaker and should translate to the NFL game with somewhat relative ease. Due to his landing spot, I've seen him dropping on draft boards, so if you're in a league that hasn't drafted yet, watch for him to fall a bit, and my advice is to happily take that value where you can get him. And the Bucs really threw the gauntlet down when they took tight end O.J. Howard with the 19th pick overall. He looks like a generational talent on tape and has the measurables to go with it. 6'6", 251, 4.5, 140 speed. He's got great hands, received Pro Football Focus's college number 1 run blocking grade, which will keep him in games. This position is notorious for taking a while for rookies to pick up, but Howard seems like a commodity that could very well be worth the wait, and he could be an elite tight end at some point in his career, guys. That's the Bucs.
Very interesting. That backfield, I just remember last year, like, all the names that came out of that backfield and were picked up on the waiver wire throughout the season. It was, I know Rodgers came out of nowhere, kind of. I know he was in Atlanta. And, you know, so, and he was a little, what did he go to, Oregon State? He was a Beaver. And then there was a little hype in college, but nothing really happened in Atlanta. And then he comes to the Bucks, and last year it was just a mess. And wasn't there another guy? Was it Antoine Smith?
Yeah, Antoine.
It was like just all these guys last year. So it seems to me that they're, I don't know, I'm not buying Doug Martin, like you said. It's just too up and down. So I feel like they're looking for a guy. They need somebody to take that thing over. I don't think it's Sims. Sims is the third down guy. Who knows if it's McNichols, but that backfield is
it's just scary.
It's shaky, man. It's very shaky.
Yeah,
I think for me, it's a little clearer than what you guys are making it out to be. I personally feel like Jeremy McNichols is the one to own there. And I remember stating, one of our pre-draft shows, you know, it was probably mid-April or something, we were talking, and we talked about they're going to replace Doug Martin, the former Boise State Bronco, with a new Boise State Bronco in Jeremy McNichols. And he ended up landing there. He is a guy that I personally feel he can do it all. He can run between the tackles. He does have light feet. He moves well. He, like Jernigan said, was productive through the air last year. He is a guy that, I mean, he had 3,200 rushing yards and 1,000 receiving yards in his career. And, you know, he's a touchdown machine, too, so he knows how to find the end zone. I know a lot of that is attributed to Boise State, but I like McNichols as the one to own there. And Mike Evans, it's funny where we're at now with Mike Evans. He is a top three dynasty asset. He is not even 24 years old yet. And I remember this time last year, he was going at the back or at the front end of the second round in startups, I feel like. You know, I feel like that's where I was grabbing him a lot of times. And he's just a monster. I don't think any of this is really going to affect him. He is a top five receiver in the NFL, in my opinion, and I think we'll continue to see that. So
I think it's going to, I think having DeShaun Jackson is going to help him.
Oh, you know, I do
having
too.
That vertical threat. Maybe his targets go down, but you have to imagine I think he's going to be working in a lot more space. So I think the targets will be a little more valuable. So, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing to have good weapons around you.
Yeah, no, definitely. It helps. I think it helps more than it hurts, that's for sure.
So that's it for the Bucks. Now I'm going to talk about the Carolina Panthers. To start off with the Carolina Panthers, obviously, let me just say that they drafted Christian McCaffrey, Curtis Samuel, and an offensive tackle from Western Michigan, Taylor Moton. All right, because I believe it's Michael Orr. He had some concussion issues last year, so they're a little worried about that. They also released Mike Tolbert and Ted Ginn left for the Saints. So we got Cam Newton, right? His ADP right now is 63rd overall, which is in the sixth round. Put that in perspective, we got Derek Carr going 54th, Cousins going 60, Mariota going 62, and Russell Wilson going 65. So he's right in the middle there. On June 26th, he threw for the football for the first time since undergoing off-season shoulder surgery, and they're saying that he should be 100% for training camp. In 2015, he was the QB1. He had 35 touchdowns in the air, 296 completions, 3,800 yards, 10 interceptions, and 132 rushes for 636 yards. Last year, we saw a pretty significant drop-off. Part of that was due to the fact that he went from throwing 35 touchdowns to throwing 19. He had 26 less completions, about 300 less yards, so that's not too far off. But then he had 42 less carries for about 300 less yards, so his touchdowns dropped and his carries dropped, all right? So, I mean, the guy's shown he was QB 17 in 2016. In 2014, he was QB 17 also. But in 2013, 2012, he was 3-2. So, I mean, he's been 1, 2, 3, and then 17 twice over the last 5 years. But I'm a little worried about his value and his stock right now as a QB 1 because it seems to me like they're trying to focus on him getting the ball out. He recently said that he has to focus on getting the ball out of his hands and giving other players opportunities to make plays. So when you bring in guys like Christian McCaffrey and Curtis Samuel, who are guys that like to work in space, those are little guys you could just dump the ball off to. So a lot of those ground yards, I think, are going to be converted from him to screens and little dump-offs. And I think we're going to see less rushing attempts, less rushing yards, but maybe he can go from 19 passing touchdowns up to somewhere like 25 to 26 with him just giving the balls to these guys and having them work. But outside of McCaffrey and Samuel, who we don't completely know right now, do you trust Kelvin Benjamin, Devin Funchess? You know, Greg Olsen's getting older. So you kind of got to put your faith in those guys. I'm buying him as a high QB2 in Superflex leagues. I mean, he's still QB1. I feel like he'll end up maybe 8 to 12, you know, but I'm definitely a little nervous and I'm not overpaying. You know, I'm going to wait if he falls to me. And then from there, I want to go right to tight ends because he's the most consistent player outside of Cam Newton in this offense. And that's Greg Olsen, who's 32 years old. He's an undrafted, he's an unrestricted free agent in 2019. And right now he's going in the fourth round. His ADP is 58 overall. His last 3 years, he had over 75 receptions and 1,000 yards, which is very impressive for a tight end. So he's on a roll right now. All right, he was tight end 3 in 2016. And now we also, I know he had Ted Ginn before, so he did have a speedster taking the top off. Curtis Samuel is another speedster. Christian McCaffrey is going to demand safety attention, putting players in the box. So I think he's still going to have that kind of that help of those outside receivers, and now the added dynamic of Christian McCaffrey that should take a little bit of attention off of him and create some space over the middle for him to work. And I feel like 35 is kind of the cliff when tight ends start to drop off. So he's still got 3 years left to tight end one numbers as long as he stays healthy. So this guy, you know, fourth round, you know, especially if you need that tight end, I think he's definitely worth it there. So you should expect more of the same from him for at least two or three more years. Now I want to talk about running backs, and they let go of Tolbert. You know, they have Fozzie Whitaker. He's on their depth chart. They also have Cameron Artis Payne, who, you know, whatever. Those were guys when Jonathan Stewart went down last year, people were bidding on and, you know, starting them week to week. I know for a fact I started Fozzie Whitaker because I thought he was the PPR guy, and neither of those guys did anything for me. You know, they had two or three weeks to make something happen, and they didn't. So I'm really not too interested in either of them. Jonathan Stewart, he's been the starter, 30 years old. He's an unrestricted free agent 2019 as well. He only topped 200 carries three times in his nine-year career. All right, he was the running back 29 in 2016, and I think really all you're going to see from him this year, as long as Christian McCaffrey stays healthy, is the red zone short yardage guy. That's it. I don't think he's worth a stat because if Christian McCaffrey goes down, he's the dude, and he's shown he can do it. But I mean, I'm assuming they're going to have to change the way they call plays with a running back like Christian McCaffrey. So things are going to be a little different, and I don't know if he can do the same things. So now that takes me over to Christian McCaffrey. Now, Christian McCaffrey was drafted eighth overall. He was the second running back taken, so that's very high, right? That's a top 10 pick, so they're obviously invested in this cat. Right now, his ADP is 35th, which is in the third round. Now, that put Leonard Fournette, he's going 23rd. Dalvin Cook's going 26th, and Joe Mixon's going 37th. So you can get him after Dalvin Cook, and I think that's good value. Now, another thing is Panthers backs don't catch a lot of footballs. So like I said before, I think they're going to have to change some things. Panthers backs totaled 44 receptions in 2016. And I believe Le'Veon Bell himself had over 80. So they're not really throwing the ball. But you know, now Cam, you know, I don't think he's going to be running as much, like I said earlier. So they're going to be looking to dump the ball off, get the ball off quick. So I think you should see, you know, some maybe 40 receptions at least for Christian McCaffrey this year. I think anything less than 40 receptions would be a letdown. He's a freak athlete, freak talent, but my question is, can Carolina showcase his talents? Do they know how to use him? I think, though, if he can at least get 40, you know, receptions, I think, you know, having the threat of Cam running the football should, you know, at least freeze up a defensive lineman, freeze up a linebacker, allow the kid to have space, and with space, he's dangerous. So I think you should expect at least high-end RB2 numbers from Christian McCaffrey this year. So that's it for the running backs. Now let's move over to the wide receivers. We got Kelvin Benjamin, who's been an interesting topic this offseason. He's 26 years old. His ADP is 78th overall. Just to put this in perspective, Corey Coleman is going 41st. So he really, better athlete, but, you know, he hasn't shown it yet. He's got that hammy right now. Moncrief's going 46th, and Josh Doctson's going 64th. So you can get Kelvin Benjamin after all them. He played a full 16 in 2016 after being hurt. He had 63 receptions. That's not very good. For 941 yards and 7 touchdowns. In April, he showed up overweight. Ron Rivera made that notice to everybody, and obviously everybody saw pictures. But it looks as if he's getting it back into shape now, and he's ready to roll. He was wide receiver 27 in 2016. He had 118 targets. So Ted Ginn left, and he's leaving 95 targets on the field. So if we could see his targets increase and his receptions increase, then I think his value goes up. Well, I mean, obviously, that's not rocket science. That's the way it works. But I need to see this guy get some more targets and some more receptions. But, I mean, he's a TD-dependent receiver with wide receiver 2 upside. And then after him, we got Devin Funchess. Devin Funchess is another name. I know Jernigan's familiar with him out in Michigan. But there was some hype surrounding Devin Funchess last year. I feel like in the circles I ran with last year, people were believing Devin Funchess was going to be a thing. And that never panned out. He actually got worse. His receptions went from 31 to 23. So he did not build off his rookie season. He's going to be fighting for targets with Samuel and McCaffrey. you know, obviously Olsen and Benjamin. So I don't know. I'm not really interested in him. I'll keep an eye on him as the season goes on. But he's not somebody I'm looking really to keep on my roster. And then after him, the other wide receiver I want to talk about is Curtis Samuel. He was a second-round pick, and he was selected as a wide receiver. And a lot of people were saying he's a running back. I believed after watching his film, he's a wide receiver who can do running back things. But I feel like with his skill set, he's best suited for wide receiver. He's probably going to take that Ted Ginn role. He's a 4-3-1 wide receiver, and that would have been a huge deal if John Ross did not run a 4-2-2. 4-3-1 is flying. Right now his ADP is 126th overall. We got guys like Will Fuller going 110, DeSean Jackson going 101, and John Brown going 138. And those are all players with similar skill sets, I believe. He had 74 receptions in 2016, and that's in an offense with very inconsistent QB play. I feel like the quarterbacks, they had terrible ball placement. They didn't do their best to help the guy. I think he did a lot with a little in the air game. So he had 74 for 865 yards. He averaged 11.7 yards per reception and 7 touchdowns. So this cat's dangerous. If they could game plan for him, get him the ball in space, I definitely think he's a guy you want to target. I'm very interested in him, especially at the ADP of 126. If you miss on McCaffrey, I'm not saying he is McCaffrey or he's going to do the same things, but kind of like what you were saying with Godwin before, if he's low, you know, pick him up. He's a ball player. If you haven't watched, go to Draft Breakdown, you know, and check out his game film versus Michigan. He put that team on his back.
Oh, please.
He's a ball player.
Nobody watched that. That was awful.
I mean, I'm not an Ohio State guy, but that was a very impressive performance by him.
Go Blue.
And he's a ball player. So that's it for the Carolina Panthers. There's not really, you know, that offense doesn't really have much else for me to talk about. So what do you guys think?
So I just want to talk on the Devin Funchess hype last year. I was not on that boat. I am
me neither.
Kyaris Garrett over Devin Funchess 10 out of 10 times. It'll probably never come to fruition, but I like to dream, and that's my thoughts on that. But Cam Newton, I think right now, you know, he's consistently been, I feel like the last couple of years, the first or second QB off the board when it comes to dynasty startups. Now you're able to get him behind, you know, Russell, Aaron Rodgers, the Winston and Mariota, and you know, Derek Carr. You're able to get him behind quite a few quarterbacks, and I think that's perfect because we've seen the type of player he can be and what he can do. And I think where people are getting him right now is sort of a steal because he still is what he is. He had a down year, and I think going forward, you can bank on him to improve somewhat and definitely improve off of last year. I mean, you know, so in the running backs, I do like McCaffrey long term. I think he's going to be a stud. I'm not so sold on the hype this year surrounding him to start off just because he is a rookie and they're going to have to mold that offense into something to where they're able to use him a little better. So, but long term, I think he's going to be an absolute stud. So there isn't really much for me to say on this team.
I kind of want to piggyback off what LJ was just saying. You talked about how the Panthers running backs typically don't catch a lot of passes. No Panthers running back has reached 30 receptions in a season over the past half decade. So they just do not throw to running backs. Now, that being said, they took McCaffrey with the 8th pick. They took Curtis Samuel, who you talked about and I've talked about on here. I think they have a lot of the similar qualities, and Samuel played some running back in college. And then on Panthers.com, there was recently a interview with Cam Newton, and it's basically the whole interview, to summarize, is talking about how he now realizes he doesn't have to be the playmaker and he can give it to other people. So basically the coaches are telling him, look, don't rush so much. Throw to the running backs. Let them do the work. If he can take that and really kind of mold his game around that, then I think McCaffrey is going to be productive as soon as this year. But, you know, it's the end of June, and this is what the coaches are telling him to say. How much of it is he really going to take to heart? We don't really know until the season starts. So this is what they're planning for, is for McCaffrey to assume that pass-catching back out of the backfield role. judging by Cam's comments, but we just don't know. You know, it's kind of a wait and see thing.
Wait and see. We will find out if this offensive coordinator can handle the task of getting his playmakers involved in the best situation possible. So let's see if that can happen. So, LJ, you got the Atlanta Falcons right now. So why don't you tell us about those folks?
The Atlanta Falcons, who are on a bit of a hot streak after taking one of Pete Carroll's coaches to form that team and build a championship caliber team stemming directly from my Seahawks. So Matt Ryan, the quarterback, last year he was QB2 in, you know, all fantasy formats, which in my opinion came out of nowhere, and it led to him being the MVP. So we've seen in the past Matt Ryan start off to an incredible hot streak and then completely die down once things started to matter. And that's just my personal experience over the past couple of years in, you know, my redraft leagues with my buddies, because, you know, I would draft Matt Ryan super late. He would show promise and do me wonders, and the next thing you know, playoffs roll around and I'm streaming another QB because Matt Ryan sucks. And going forward, he does have the same weapons, but one of the main additions for that offense is just Austin Hooper having another year of experience, and I think that's going to pay off big time for them, because we've seen what he did with Tony Gonzalez. We've seen the type of numbers Tony Gonzalez put up. I'm not saying Hooper is Tony Gonzalez, but he is still only 22 years old, and he's got another year of experience. And for you SFB7 players out there, last year, Austin Hooper caught 19 passes. 16 of those passes went for first downs, so he is a first down machine, and he should pay off big time if you are in the SFB7. I think, you know, I've heard reports of him developing well and that he's really on the rise, and I'm buying that hype on him. I like Austin Hooper. I liked him coming out last year. So he is a huge buy for me right now. And we'll move over to the running back position, which highlights Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. Which Devontae Freeman is 24, Tevin Coleman is 23. And they were a bit of a two-headed monster last year, even though Devontae Freeman ended up getting 227 carries, Tevin Coleman with 118. Devontae broke 1,000 yards, Tevin Coleman was at 520 yards. But where Coleman really succeeds is as a pass catcher out of the backfield. He averaged 13.6 yards per reception, while Devontae Freeman averaged 8.6. So Devontae Freeman was running back 6 in 2016, and we've seen him burst onto the scene in 2015 and be, you know, he was a league winner that year. I think he is still going to be their guy going forward. There's pictures and stuff floating around the interwebs about Tevin Coleman really bulking up and, you know, sort of trying to be more of a downhill guy, I guess, in a sense, and really just be more of a threat out of the backfield. It's going to be interesting. One of these guys is going to have to go. Reports are that they are nearing a deal for Devontae Freeman. So Tevin Coleman's outlook for the future looks bleak, in my opinion, depending on where he ends up.
New England.
Oh, dude, that would be so
future New England back.
He would be so money in that offense. That's a good call. And so I don't think they're going to be able to keep two of them. You know, we've seen the Panthers do that a couple years ago with Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams, and I feel like both guys were getting paid over $10 million or something. I could be completely wrong, but that's what it felt like. And so going forward, I do think Devontae Freeman's ADP is merited just because of the type of player he is. And he's shown, when they drafted him, I don't feel like they ever really wanted him to be the guy, but he worked his tail off. He solidified himself as the guy, and I think going forward he's going to continue to be that since he is only 24 years old. He's a guy I really love, and I can't wait till he signs his deal so I can drop his cool little video of him slipping on his Capri Sun. But they did draft Brian Hill this year, and Brian Hill is out of the University of Wyoming. He's listed as 6'1", 218, and he had a hell of a year last season. He was, let's see here, 349 rushes, 1,860 yards with a 5.3 average and 22 touchdowns. And he's the type of guy who is a mauler. I think he can add a cool element to that offense. I'm excited to see. I think he'll make the roster as the third guy, and I'm excited to see what he can do in the preseason, just get a feel for him. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to grab him in any drafts, but I like him, and that's the running back core. And obviously, the pass catchers, you have Julio Jones, and this is important here. So Steve Sarkisian is the new offensive coordinator after Kyle Shanahan left for San Francisco. Steve Sarkisian is the ex-University of Washington Husky coach and also the ex-University of University of Southern California Trojan coach. Then he transferred to Alabama as the OC, and he was there for about 2 weeks before taking this job. And he stated just recently, it was only a couple weeks ago, and he's talking about he wants to find Julio Jones in the red zone more. And this is by Mark Inabinette off of AL.com. And it says, since Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Julio Jones entered the NFL as a sixth pick in the 2011 draft, only four players have more than his 497 receptions. Only one player has more than his 7,610 receiving yards. Only one player has more than his 96.3 receiving yard average per game, but 11 players have more than his 40 touchdown receptions, and I think that's going to be a big emphasis. I don't care about your Antonio Brown takes, your Odell Beckham takes. Julio Jones is the best receiver in the league, in my opinion, and I need to utilize him even more down in the red zone. Man, he could be so much more productive, in my opinion, if they would do that.
He's a superhero, dude.
Like, he's just a freak athlete. There's nothing like him out there. So they need to utilize him more. They have Mohamed Sanu. They have Taylor Gabriel, who are spot plays. You know, they're guys that you might be able to get a wide receiver three game out of here and there. Sometimes a wide receiver two ceiling once in a while, depending on, you know, who they're matched up with that week. So that I'm not buying into them too much. You know, I'm not really going to put my neck out there and try to grab these guys. But that's what I'm seeing from this wide receiver core. They also have Justin Hardy, who I was high on coming out, but I don't think anything's going to come to fruition for him. And I have talked too long on this subject, so I'll leave it up to you guys now.
Well, I think that backfield, man, I know you were talking about Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. And those were both players, I believe, that were picked with pretty high selections. And, I mean, this backfield is actually one that was put together and actually produced at a dominant level. Devontae Freeman's the real deal. I think he's right after Le'Veon Bell, Zeke, David Johnson. I think he's in the next tier, and I'm willing to put Jordan Howard in that tier as well. Devontae Freeman's the real deal. This offense is a juggernaut. And I'm real excited to see Austin Hooper in his second season. I'm buying. I like tight ends out of Stanford. I think he's a solid ball player. He's fast. He's elusive. He's got good hands. So, you know, the guy I'm most excited to see and the guy I'm trying to get as much as possible, you know, for the right price is Austin Hooper.
Yep, I like Austin Hooper as well. You brought up Brian Hill, though, the running back they drafted, and he was only a fifth rounder, but I did want to bring up one stat on Brian Hill that I don't think you touched on. He did not commit a single fumble on 357 touches.
Well, that's beautiful. And I did not know that.
Yeah, that is impressive right there. And you know as well as I do that in the pros, the quickest way to get benched is by fumbling the ball, and this guy does not do that.
Mark Ingram.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Causing him to bring in an aging old Adrian Peterson to solidify that backfield. We'll see how that goes.
An aging old Adrian Peterson.
That was a solid segue, by the way.
So, well, Mike, why don't you pick it up and continue on with those New Orleans Saints, pal?
Why don't I go ahead with the Saints? And I guess I might as well jump right in on Mark Ingram since we're talking about him.
Jump in.
He's been a solid running back for the Saints, really. He's coming off his first career 1,000-yard rushing campaign, and he also had 46 receptions to go along with it. He's probably not likely to get 1,000 yards this season, I don't think, with his new partner in the backfield, but he should still probably be the lead back. He's kind of a high-floor, low-ceiling type of guy to me. He'll probably produce just like that again this season. And I think most people know who he is, so I didn't really want to spend a lot of time on him. But also in the backfield, they added old man and future Hall of Famer Adrian Peterson. he's going to muddy the water a bit in this backfield, but he's 32 years old, playing in a new offense, and I really don't think he's going to come in there and be the same AP we were used to seeing in Minnesota. He's probably going to steal some touchdowns and drive the Ingram owner nuts at times, and seems like he feels to me like he's probably a must-own handcuff for the Ingram owner if he can get him. If I had to guess right now, I'd say AP's probably going to be like in the 800-yard range, maybe if he's lucky, with like 7 touchdowns or something along those lines. And the Saints traded up with the 49ers to draft Alvin Kamara in the 3rd round. He has experience returning kicks, and he has great hands out of the backfield, so it's easy to envision him assuming a Reggie Bush, Darren Sproles type role. In PPR leagues, he gains a lot of value. There's a bit of long-term uncertainty, I think, with Kamara, with Breeze in the twilight of his career, and I don't think Breeze's backup is on the roster at this time. But Kamara's receiving ability isn't in question, so I wouldn't let that scare you off too much. Speaking of Breeze, let's jump to the quarterbacks. I'm sure you've heard of Drew Breeze. He's going to have a good year, puts up around 5,000 yards every season. The problem with Breeze is his age, like I talked about. He's 38 years old. I personally am 37 years old and can't play a season of softball without annihilating my Achilles tendon, so keep that in mind. I don't obviously put in anywhere near the amount of training that Mr. Breeze does, but my point is that the body does not want to play high-impact sports at a certain point. I also kind of feel like the Saints as a whole are going to have a down year. Nothing dramatic, but I don't know that you get like typical high-end Drew Breeze numbers this season. For these reasons, I think that if you're the Breeze owner, it might be a good time to start thinking about shopping him. Behind him on the bench, all you got is Chase Daniel, who is the direct backup. And aside from the handcuff angle, there's probably no reason to own him. And Garrett Grayson is still on the team, but he must not be any good since he can't ever find his way off the practice squad. So there's that. Oh, and also, I missed something I wanted to touch on with the running backs, kind of a sidebar here. The question marks that surround the center, Max Unger, and his return, and left tackle Teron Armstead expected to miss time with that torn labrum I think we talked about last week. This run game could be significantly hindered to begin the season. The Saints start their season against Minnesota, New England, and the Panthers. So with that banged up line and going against some tough defenses, I think it's kind of a situation to keep an eye on. Maybe try to buy your favorite Saints running back a couple of weeks into the season after they've had a couple of down weeks. I don't know. Something to think about. Keep an eye on that. So your wide receivers, we've talked about Michael Thomas, and we all think he's a really good receiver. What you've heard us debate, and what the bullish one on here, is where his ceiling kind of lies. He balled out as a rookie across from Cooks. He finished as the wide receiver 9, with Cooks finishing as the wide receiver 7. With Cooks gone, you have to assume that Thomas is going to just feast on targets. Where my colleagues and I disagree is what that is going to translate into and where his ceiling is. He's young, he's ultra talented. We all think he's easily a top 20 running back, wide receiver. So, I in no way, shape, or form am I saying he's a bad player. I just don't think I have him quite as top tier as a lot of the fantasy community does. Wide receiver 2 is Willie Snead. He had a nice 2016 season, putting up 72 receptions for 895 yards and 4 touchdowns stat line as the 3rd receiver in New Orleans. He's going to see increased usage this year and move into the wide receiver 2 role. He's only 24 and in this offense could be a real value pickup for your team. The one thing to keep an eye on with him would be his contract situation. He's only slated to make $615,000 this season, and he wants an extension. In comparison, on the Saints roster, Brandon Coleman, who finished 7th on the team in receiving yards, will make exactly the same amount of money this year. So Snead is talking about this extension and how he wants it, but he's keeping a positive attitude, saying all the right things. it's just something we need to keep an eye on as the season gets close and make sure it doesn't go sideways on us. The Saints picked up Ted Ginn to help stretch the defense. We talked about him from Carolina. He still has elite level speed, but he's not a great receiver through any other measurable attributes, in my opinion. He does, however, find himself on an offense that chucks the ball a ton. He'll probably be a flex option this season, but one I don't think you'll ever feel great about starting. Strictly, you know, depth for your roster type of guy. And at tight end, you have Kobe Fleener, who burned so many people in redraft last year, including myself. He was surrounded by all kinds of hype when he packed his bags and moved to New Orleans with their tight end friendly pass attack, only to underwhelm and finish as tight end 15 last year. With a year of the offense under his belt, I hesitate to say this because I was burned so badly, but maybe he takes a step up and becomes a starting tight end for fantasy. I still think it's probably going to be in the form of a matchup dependent one. So take that for what it's worth with Kobe Fleener, and that's all I got on the Saints. I don't feel great about this team this year.
The thing with Kobe Fleener that stands out to me, I believe, you know, last season he was tied with, I want to say, Michael Thomas in red zone targets. And, you know, so that's promising for him going forward. He had 16 red zone targets while Michael Thomas had 19 red zone targets. But still, you know, he so obviously led or was second on the team in red zone targets. So there is some... But there's nothing else there. Josh Hill, you know, at the tight end position. Drew Brees likes to spread the ball around. And even though we have so many different mouths to feed, like not in terms of talent-wise, but just based off of how Drew Brees runs that offense, I still think, you know, Kobe Fleener can be a guy to target late. And a lot of times this tends to happen. You know, there's a guy that has a down year after showing that he can be a decent producer in fantasy, and then, you know, that's the time to target him, and that's when you get your discount, and then it ends up paying off. So, you know, so that's my take.
And I kind of agree with that. That was why I wanted to bring him up, even though he burned me so badly last year, was all the reasons that I thought he was going to be good there last year are still there, plus he has 1 year experience in the offense. So it wouldn't shock me at all if he takes that step and becomes, you know, a tight end one for fantasy football.
Who was it like 2 or 3 years ago? Was it Ben Watson that like just
destroyed it? Yeah,
out of nowhere. Yeah, I mean, if he could do it with Brees, come on, Fleener, get it together, come correct, and produce, bro. You know what I mean? Like, so that's it. You got the chops.
I just want to pose a question: if you can only pick one running back to own in a dynasty format from this roster, who are you grabbing?
Kamara, I would think.
I'm with you on that one too. I think Kamara as well. I've already heard those, you know, those reports, obviously, that he is, they're trying to get him worked in, and they expect big things from him catching the ball out of the backfield this year.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay with you guys and with Kamara, but I really wish for Ingram's value, if he would have left and went to Philly behind that number one offensive line that Carson Wentz got to throw behind last year,
he would have been great.
Oh man, he would have been great. That offensive line, that all, you know, number one in the NFL right now, according to Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, and by the way, he's from Flint, Michigan, where I was born and raised.
Oh, so
Flint, Michigan.
So Thomas Rawls, he's from Flint, Michigan as well, right?
Yes, sir.
That's it for the NFC South divisional breakdown, gentlemen. We got one more left. It's been a trek. Who's win? Oh man, no, did we do this last week?
We didn't have to do it last week. It's obvious who's winning that one.
Right. The NFC South. Who's the winner?
Tampa Bay.
Falcons.
I like the Falcons. You know, obviously they were in the Super Bowl last year, but without Kyle Shanahan and with the Super Bowl hangover, I just kind of look for them to take a step back. And with all the weapons the Bucs added, I can see a scenario where the Bucs overtake them.
I could see. I'm buying that too. I think Noah Spence is going to take a step in his second season and he is going to be a problem. He is going to be an edge rusher who is going to put up big numbers, and he's going to change the dynamic of that defense. It's going to put that defense over the top.
Here's my reasoning for the Falcons is it's not so much on that offense. It's I feel like they're building the best defense in that division right now. That's my take on that, and I think that's why they're going to win this division.
I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very fun to watch for the first time in a few years. So the NFC South, we're split on this one, two with the Buccaneers, one with the Falcons. So now let's head over to the Dynasty Warzone hashtag Ask Dynasty Warzone segment. You guys submit your questions. We talk about the answers. And the first question we have this week is from Howie Dad at BizUnWarrior. So this is a very interesting question. I'm glad I got this one this week. Todd Gurley or pick 1-2? So the first round, pick number 2 overall.
This is kind of this is pretty super close for me.
It's interesting though, right? That it is like, yeah. Isn't that like?
No, it is interesting. As the person who broke down the Rams on this show, really looking at that team, I don't have a whole lot of faith that they're going to be leaps and bounds better this year. Which, you know, I feel like that's why Gurley suffered last season. So when you look at that 1-2 pick, you know, you got Corey Davis or Fournette, or if you like, you know, McCaffrey or Mixon or Cook in that range, you know, you got those guys to choose from. So then the question comes down to, are two of those guys in a better situation, in your opinion, than Gurley? And for me, I still like Corey Davis for dynasty purposes. And I like Fournette. I know LJ and I agree with that, but or disagree on that one. But I still have those two guys slightly ahead of Gurley, so I think I would take 1-2.
So the thing is with this one is, that in terms of ADP, Todd Gurley's going ahead of the second rookie off the board in startups. I still believe in Todd Gurley. I think Sean McVay will do, you know, a halfway decent job in getting that offense somewhat set up to have a little bit of success this year. I know it all rides on Jared Goff, but I think Todd Gurley, we've seen what he could do as a rookie. He's still getting a lot of yards after contact, and obviously he's getting little to none before getting back to the line of scrimmage. So I'm gonna go with Todd Gurley on this one. I like Todd Gurley. I am the Todd-garians on a few dynasty leagues, so that's who I'm going with.
Yeah, I'm not ready to give up on Gurley. 1-2 is good value, but I'm not ready to give up on Gurley. I'm keeping Gurley over pick 1.02. So that's it for that question. And now the last question we have is from Hector Gutierrez, and it's at Heck Gutierrez. His question is, Demaryius Thomas, Tyrell Williams, and an 18-3rd, or Golden Tate in a mid to late 18-1st?
Man, I think I gotta go with Demaryius Thomas, Tyrell Williams in the third.
Do you feel like it's even close?
I think it is close because of Demaryius Thomas's age. We don't know what's gonna go on with Tyrell Williams this year. And that mid to late 18-1st, we know that next year's class is gonna be a decent one. It's gonna be interesting to see how that lands. But I think it's somewhat close. I like the DT side, though.
I think it's close, too, but I'm with you on that one. I like Demaryius Thomas. We talked about when we broke down the Broncos that since Thomas and Sanders have been in Denver together, neither one of them has had a sub-1,000-yard season. He is on the older side, but Tyrell Williams is not. You know, he's only 25. Granted, there's a lot of competition for touches out there in Los Angeles. But Golden Tate, you know, as a Lions fan, I'm scared about the Lions this year. They don't instill a lot of hope with me. And, you know, one other pick, I don't know. It's close for me, but I got to go with the Thomas Williams side.
Golden Tate just feels underutilized, you know what I mean? I feel like he could be huge in fantasy if they would just target him more or give him, I don't know what it is. He just feels underutilized to me.
I'm going with that side as well with Demaryius Thomas and Tyrell Williams. I think Tyrell Williams is a dude who doesn't get that much love. I know he's in a crowded it's crowded over there in L.A., but I think he's a good ball player, man, and I think he's only going to get better. I think the best is yet to come for him. I mean, he averaged 15.3 yards per catch last year. You know, he had 7 touchdowns. I like him. I'd be willing to pay an early second, late first for the guy if I was wide receiver needy.
Well, and actually, so, John, if you want to look at it, in 2015, he averaged 45 yards a reception.
Look at, I mean,
2 for 90.
Top that.
That's right.
Top that.
That's right. Best in the league, probably.
So that's very impressive. You know, even though it was only on 2 receptions, I'm still, you know, 45 yards per catch is pretty impressive.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's Demaryius Thomas. You know, give me that 18-3rd, and I'm taking that. And just so you guys know, I looked at the poll. The poll results were 51% in favor of Demaryius Thomas and Tyrell Williams. I was a little shocked when I saw that, but, you know, it is what it is. And you know what it is? It's time for the show to come to an end, gentlemen. That's the end of the Ask Dynasty Warzone segment. This is the end of episode 18. It was another rager. We came correct this week. We talked NFC South. We talked Jonathan Williams, George Kittle. We had an IDP special that was Zach Orr. We discussed Michael Fanaro getting one of the final slots and leaving 3 slots left for the Dynasty Warzone Listener League. And we also discussed the fact that we had 950 followers on Twitter. So maybe spread the word. Help us get to 1,000 before LJ leaves so he could really feel fulfilled. You know what I'm saying?
Fill me up. Fill me up.
Fill me up. Well, that's it, gentlemen. So peace out. Enjoy your 4th of July, like Mike Jernigan said. And come back next week where we will discuss the NFC East on episode number 19. We are crawling close to episode 20, which is a pretty big milestone for us. And we're also crawling closer to the day we'll have to say bye-bye to LJ.
Saranera.
Oh, Saranera.
Saranera.
Hey, was that like a sayonara mixed with marinara? I didn't understand that, dude.
It's from like a movie or something. My wife said it to me like one of the first times as a joke. It's from, do some research, look it up.
Okay.
It's some quote for some stupid movie. Like the one earlier when we discussed Hocus Pocus and you got into your love for Sarah Jessica Parker. All right. Don't want to waste any more of your time, guys. So enjoy your week. Later
on. She's like old enough to be your mom, isn't she, LJ?
I don't care.
Happy birthday, America.
Head on over to DynastyFootballFactory.com for all your Dynasty news, mock drafts, ADP, and player evaluations for all league types, including IDP and Devy. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Dynasty Warzone podcast. Thanks for listening.